Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're Zechus Yuma Daf Yud Beis. The first parak, Shiva's Yami. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara brings Machlokas Tanaim, whether houses in Yerushalayim can become Tamei for Tumat Saras based on the condition that Tumat Saras occurs Be'eretz Ochuzaschem, the land of your inheritance. The Tana Kama rules that they cannot because he holds Yerushalayim when Yishalkul Shvatim. Yerushalayim was not apportioned among the Shvatim and is therefore not considered an inheritance. Rav Yehuda rules that houses in Yerushalayim can become Tamei, as he holds that Yerushalayim was apportioned to the Shvatim. A brice is brought to support Rav Yehuda that states, Maya Bechelko Shel Yehuda, which parts of the base of Migdash were in the portion of Shevet Yehuda, Harbais, Haloshakos, Va'azaros, and which parts were in the portion of Binyamin, the Ulam, the Heichal, and the base Kodesh Kodashim, and a strip of land which projected from the portion of Yehuda and entered into the portion of Binyamin, Uvahia Binzbeach Banu, and on it, the Mizbeach was built. And Binyamin HaTzadik was pained by it each day because of his longing to absorb it into his territory. Therefore, he was Zoch and Venasi Ushmizachan Gavur to become host of the presence of the Almighty, as it says, Uben Ksef of Shachin, and between his shoulders, referring to Binyamin, does he rest, referring to Hashem. We see from here that Yerushalayim was apportioned to the Shvatim. The Gemara then brings a brisa that supports the Tana Kama. Point number two, the Gemara asks that while it's obvious that if the Kohen Gadol becomes disqualified the morning of Yom Kippur, before the Tamid Shel Shachar, the new Kohen Gadol is invested into his new position by bringing the Tamid Shel Shachar, but what is he invested into office with if the Kohen Gadol becomes Tamei after the Tamid Shel Shachar? So Rav Ada Bar Ava said Ba'avne with his pure linen belt, which was different than an ordinary Kohen's belt, which was made of shatnez. Abai said Lo b'shmonim v'hapak mitzunura. Before proceeding to the Yom Kippur service, he dons the eight begadim of the Kohen Gadol and turns part of the Tamid offering over on the fire of the Mizbeach with a fork to hasten its burning. This act is considered an avoda. Rav Papa said avoda somachanachto. His performance of the Yom Kippur service, even without any other act, invests him with his office, since only a Kohen Gadol can do the avoda on Yom Kippur. And point number three, when Ravin arrived from Eretz Yisrael, he said that everybody agrees that the avnet of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur was made of pure linen, and the rest of the year his avnet was made of kalayim. They disagree regarding the avnet of an ordinary Kohen, both on the other days of the year and on Yom Kippur. For Rebbe says it was made of kalayim, or Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon said it was made of pure linen. Therefore, according to Rebbe, the four begadim that the ordinary Kohen wore were essentially the same as those worn by the Kohen Gadol throughout the year, besides his four additional begadim. So once again, the Gemara brings Malchokas Tanaim whether houses in Yerushalayim can become Tamei from Tumat Saras, based on the condition that Tumat Saras occurs Be'er Zerchuz Aschem, the land of your inheritance. The Tana Kama rules that they cannot, because he holds Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim. Yerushalayim was not apportioned among the Shvatim, and is therefore not considered an inheritance. Rav Yehuda rules that houses in Yerushalayim can become Tamei, as he holds that Yerushalayim was apportioned to the Shvatim. A brice is brought to support Rav Yehuda that states, Maya Bechelko Shel Yehuda, which parts of the base of Migdash were in the portion of Shevet Yehuda, Harbais, Haloshakos, Va'azaros, and which parts were in the portion of Binyamin, the Ulam, the Heichal, and the base Kodesh Kodashim, and a strip of land which projected from the portion of Yehuda and entered into the portion of Binyamin, Uvaya Mizbeach Banu, and on it the Mizbeach was built. And Binyamin itself was pained by it each day because of his longing to absorb it into his territory. Therefore, he was Zocha, Vanase Ushpizachan Ogvur, to become host to the presence of the Almighty, as it says, Uben Seif of Shachin, and between his shoulders, referring to Binyamin, does he rest, referring to Hashem. We see from here that Yerushalayim was apportioned to the Shvatim. The Gemara then brings a brisa that supports the Tana Kama. Point number two, the Gemara asks that while it's obvious that if the Kohen Gadol becomes disqualified the morning of Yom Kippur, before the Tamid Shel Shachar, the new Kohen Gadol is invested into his new position by bringing the Tamid Shel Shachar. But what is he invested into his office with if the Kohen Gadol becomes Tamei after the Tamid Shel Shachar? So Rav Ada Bar Ava said Ba'avne with his pure linen belt, which was different than a Kohen Hedyot's belt, which was made of shatnez. Abai said Lo b'shmonu mahapach mitzinura. Before proceeding to the Yom Kippur service, he dons the eight begadim of the Kohen Gadol and turns part of the Tamid over on the fire of the Mizbech with a fork to hasten its burning. This act is considered an avoda. Rav Papa said avoda somachanachto. His performance of the Yom Kippur service, even without any other act, invests him with his office, since only a Kohen Gadol can do the avoda on Yom Kippur. And point number three, when Ravin arrived from Eretz Yisrael, he said that everybody agrees that the avnir of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur was made of pure linen, and the rest of the year his avnir was made of kalayim. They disagree regarding the avnir of a Kohen Hedyot, both on the other days of the year and on Yom Kippur, for Rebbe says it was made of kalayim, while Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon says it was made of pure linen. Therefore, according to Rebbe, the four begadim that the Kohen Hedyot wore were essentially the same as those worn by the Kohen Gadol throughout the year, besides his four additional begadim. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Daf Yud Beis, and our standard Simen is 12 brothers. So here goes. The 12 brothers who were fighting over who gets to put the model of Mizbeach in their room were finally convinced by the oldest brother, who pretended to be a newly invested Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur with his linen belt, that it belonged to him, and that they didn't deserve it because their belts were made of shotness. Once again, in slow motion. The 12 brothers, that must be more on Duff Yud Beis. The 12 brothers who are fighting over who gets to put the model of Mizbeach in their room, which reminds the Gemara brings about Chokas Tanaim whether houses in Yerushalayim can become Tameh from Tumat Tzaras based on the condition that Tumat Tzaras occurs Be'eretz Achuzaschem, the land of your inheritance. The Tanakama rules that they cannot because he holds Yerushalayim on Nishalka L'Shvatim. Yerushalayim was not apportioned among the Shvatim and is therefore not considered an inheritance. Rabbi Yehuda rules that houses in Yerushalayim can become Tameh as he holds that Yerushalayim was apportioned to the Shvatim. A price is brought to support Rabbi Yehuda that states, Maya Bechelko Sheyuda, which parts of the Beis HaMikdash were in the portion of Shevi Yehuda, are Bais HaLashakos HaAzaros, and which parts were in the portion of Binyamin, the Ulam, the Heichal, and the Beis Kodesh Kadashim, and a strip of land which projected from the portion of Yehuda and entered in the portion of Binyamin, Uvaya Mizbeach Banu, and on it the Mizbeach was built, and Binyamin itself was pained by it each day because of his longing to absorb it into his territory. We see from here, though, that Yerushalayim was apportioned to the Shvatim. The Gemara then brings a price that supports the Tanakama. So the 12 brothers who were fighting over who gets to put the model of the Mizbeach in their room were finally convinced by the oldest brother, who pretended to be a newly invested Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur with his linen belt, that it belonged to him, which reminds us. The Gemara says that while it's obvious that if a Kohen Gadol becomes disqualified the morning of Yom Kippur, before the Tamid Shel Shachar, the new Kohen Gadol is invested into his new position by bringing the Tamid Shel Shachar. But what is he invested into office with if the Kohen Gadol becomes Tami after the Tamid Shel Shachar? So Rav Avi Bar Abba said Ba'avne with his pure linen belt, which was different than a Kohen Hedyot's belt, which was made of shatnez. Abai said, Lo v'shmona mahapech b'tzinura. Before proceeding to the Yom Kippur service, he dons the eight begotten of the Kohen Gadol and turns part of the Tamid offering over on the fire of the Mizbeach with a fork to hasten its burning, and this act is considered an avoda. And Rav Papa said his performance of the Yom Kippur service, even without any other act, invests him with his office, since only a Kohen Gadol can do the avoda on Yom Kippur. So the 12 brothers who are fighting over who gets to put the model of the Mizbeach in their room were finally convinced by the oldest brother, who pretended to be a newly invested Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur with his linen belt that it belonged to him, that they didn't deserve it because their belts were made of shatnez. Which reminds us, when Ravina arrived from Eretz Yisrael, he said that everybody agrees that the avnet of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur was made of pure linen, and the rest of the year his avnet was made of kalaim. They disagree regarding the avnet of a Kohen Hedyot, both on the other days of the year and on Yom Kippur. For Rebbe says it was made of kalaim, well, Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon says it was made of pure linen. Therefore, according to Rebbe, the four begadim that the Kohen Hedyot wore were essentially the same as those worn by the Kohen Gadol throughout the year, besides his four additional begadim. So once again, the 12 brothers who were fighting over who gets to put the model of the Mizbeach in their room were finally convinced by their oldest brother, who pretended to be a newly invested Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur with his linen belt, that it belonged to him, and that they didn't deserve it because their belts were made of shatnez. All right, now it's time for four blah back chazara. Daf Ches, so the standard sim for Daf Ches is a challah. So here goes. The baker commissioned to bake challahs. Challahs, that must be more in Daf Ches. The baker commissioned to bake challahs for Kohanim when they were sequestered. Watch them walk from their daily huzzah into their chambers, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a three-way machlokas tonight regarding huzzah for the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur, and for the Kohen who will burn the paraduma. According to Rabbi Meir, they would both be sprinkled upon all 7 days of their separation. Rabbi Yossi says they would only be sprinkled upon the third and seventh days, and Rabbi Chanina Skan Kohanim says, the Kohen Asorf is a par mazinu of Koshiva, the Kohen who was burning the par would be sprinkled upon during all 7 days, but the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur would be sprinkled upon only on the third and seventh days. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi both hold tevila bezman a mitzvah, immersion at its appointed time, is a mitzvah, meaning it must be done immediately upon the conclusion of one's tumah period. But they disagree whether makshinin hazah l'tevila. Rabbi Meir does, and Rabbi Yossi does not. Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim also does not make the comparison, and he holds that sprinkling the kohen who's to burn the paraduma all 7 days is ma'al ba'ama, merely a stringency. So the baker commissioned to bake challahs for Kohanim when they were sequestered, watched them walk from their daily huzzah into their chambers, one for Tahara, where no one could touch him, and the other for Kedusha, which reminds us, it was Tanna Braisa, that there's no difference between the Kohen who burns the Paraduma and the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur, except that regarding the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur, his sequester is for Kedusha, and his fellow Kohanim may touch him. Rashi explains that as the Kohen Gadol prepares to enter the Machane Shechina, We need to prevent him from being haughty or frivolous, so being put in solitude will make him reflect on his mission. However, there's no reason to forbid visitors from touching him. Whereas regarding the Kohen who will burn the Paraduma, his sequester is for Tahara, for purification, and his fellow Kohanim cannot touch him. Rashi explains that the purpose of a sequester was to be more machmir in his purity as a counterbalance to the kula of contaminating him and immersing him on the day of the burning to repudiate the opinion of the Tzedukim. So the baker commissioned to bake challahs for Kohanim when they were sequestered, watched them walk from their daily hazah into their chambers, one for Tahara where no one could touch him, and the other for Kedusha, which was in the middle of renovations again. Which reminds us, it was taught in a Brice that Reb Yudah says that the Lishkas Parhedrin was originally called the Lishkas Balvati, the chamber of Balvati, meaning aristocrats, because the Kohanim Gadolim of that era were honorable men. Later they became wicked as they paid the king for their position instead of attaining it on their merits, and they died every year. As a result, the chamber was remodeled every 12 months for its new resident, and it was similar to the low-level appointees of the king called Parhedrin, who were replaced every 12 months. Therefore, they called it the Lishkas Parhedrin. Daf Tes of the Simur Daf Tes is a teapot. So here goes. More than 300 mazel tov in your new position teapots. Teapots? That must be more on Daf Tes. More than 300 mazel tov in your new position teapots were smashed, which reminds us, Rabbi Baruch Hanna said in the name of Yochanan, what's the meaning of that which is written, Yiras Hashem Tosif Yamim, Ushnos Rishayim Tiksarna? The fear of Hashem will increase days, but the years of the wicked will be short. And the fear of Hashem will increase days is a reference to Mikdash Rishon, which stood for 410 years, and throughout that period, only 18 Kohanim Gadolim served in it. But the years of the wicked will be shortened is a reference to Mikdash Sheni, which stood for 420 years, yet more than 300 Kohanim Gadolim served in it. So more than 300 mazel tov on your new position teapots were smashed and piled up high in front of a cafe with three pictures of destroyed temples hanging on the walls, which reminds us, Shul was destroyed because of two things that were present there, immorality and irreverence of the Kachim. The Gemara explains that the morality was the behavior of Eliyahu Cohen's sons, who delayed the women bringing burnt offerings, which prevented them from returning home to their husbands, and the irreverence to Kachim was that they had their servants take the meat of the Shlamim before they were entitled to them. Rabbi Yochanan continues and states that Bais Rishon was destroyed because of three things, Avodah Zorah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichus Damim. Why was Bais Sheni destroyed when we know they were involved with Torah, Mitzvot, and Gemilas Hasadim? Because of Sinas Chinam. This teaches that Sinas Chinam is equal to the three cardinal sins of Avodah Zorah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichus Damim. So more than 300 mazel tov on your new position teapots were smashed and piled up high in front of a cafe with three pictures of destroyed temples hanging on the walls and where people sat and drank coffee, pretending to be friends. Which reminds Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar both said, Rishonim Shinskala Avonim Niskala Kitzam, the earlier ones whose iniquity was revealed had their end revealed. Rashi explains that during Bais Rishon, when people transgressed openly, made no effort to conceal their transgressions. Therefore, Yirmiyahu prophesied that the Galus and Bavel would last 7 years. Acharonim Shel Niskala Avonim Niskala Kitzam, the later ones whose iniquity was not revealed, their end was not revealed. Rashi explains that the people during Bais Sheni did their transgressions in secret. The Rasha says they harbored unwarranted hatred toward their fellow men in their hearts, while in public they would eat and drink together. Daf Yud. So the Simur Daf Yud is a minion of Yidden. So here goes. The minion of Yidden. Minion of Yidden. That must be more in Daf Yud. The minion of Yidden that was plagued by noisy children running through, playing Persians versus Romans, which reminds us, Rabbi Shubin Levi said in the name of Rabbi, Asi the Romi Shetipo Biyad Press, Rome is destined to fall into the hands of Persia, based on a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Eli also said that Rome will fall into the hands of Persia, based on a Kal Vachomer. Rav said, Asi the Press Shetipo Biyad Romi, Persia is destined to fall in the hands of Rome, when he was questioned whether it made sense that the builders, referring to Persia, should fall into the hands of the destroyers, referring to Rome. He answered, yes, Gezeres HaMelechi, such is the decree of the king. Others say, the Rav answered that Persia also destroyed many synagogues. So the minion of Yidden that was plagued by noisy children running through playing Persians versus Romans finally convinced the kids after 9 months to play Mashiach times, which reminds Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav that Mashiach will not come until the wicked kingdom of Rome has overrun the entire world for 9 months. As it says in Michal, Chen Yidden Ad Eis Yoleda Yolada, V'yeser Echav Yeshuvun Al Bnei Yisrael, therefore he will surrender them until the time that one gives birth. Then the rest of his brothers, referring to the Mashiach's brothers, will return with Bnei Yisrael. Rashi on the Pasuk explains that after 9 months, the rest of the Mashiach's brothers, referring to the rest of Shevet Yehuda, will join the other Shvatim and form a unified kingdom in Eretz Yisrael. So the minion of Yidden that was plagued by noisy children running through playing Persians versus Romans finally convinced the kids after 9 months to play Mashiach times inside a little chamber that wasn't a prison because it had a mezuzah affixed to the door. Which reminds us, it was taught in a Brice of Kol Shakushay Mikdash, all the chambers in the base of Mikdash had no mezuzahs, except for the Parhedron chamber, since it served as a dwelling for the Kohen Gadol. The week before Yom Kippur, Rav Yehuda said that there were several chambers that served as dwelling places, referring to the places where the Kohanim Levim who guarded the base of Mikdash would stay, yet they had no mezuzahs. Rather, it was a derabbanan requirement that the Lishkas Parhedron had a mezuzah. The Gemara on Amud Beis brings Rava's explanation that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Diras Bal Korcha Lo Shma Dira, an enforced residence, is not considered a residence. Therefore, the Lishkas Parhedron was not Chayim Deraisa to have a mezuzah. The Rabbanan enacted a Chiyah Mezuzah Shul Yomer Kohen Gadol Chavish B'Beis Asurin, in order that people should not say the Kohen Gadol is locked in jail. The absence of the mezuzah would draw attention to the forced nature of his stay. Daf Yadav, so the Simmer Daf Yadav is stars. So here goes. In their attempt to break the world record for the largest number of mezuzahs in a single province, the inhabitants stuck gold stars. Gold stars, that must mean we're on Daf Yadav. In their attempt to break the world record for the largest number of mezuzahs in a single province, the inhabitants stuck gold stars on every gate, which reminds the Rabban taught in a brace. The Pasuk says, Ubisharecho, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, plural. This teaches that whether they are gates of houses, gates of courtyards, gates of provinces, or gates of cities, they have the Chovas Mitzvah of mezuzah. Rashi explains that Shari Medinos, gates of provinces, require mezuzahs in a case where the province is surrounded by mountains and forests for many miles and people can only enter through gates. So in their attempt to break the world record for the largest number of mezuzahs in a single province, the inhabitants stuck gold stars on every gate and made sure to include curved archways, which reminds us, it was taught in Bryce, in the case of a kippah, a curved archway, Rabbi Meir requires a mezuzah, and the Chumim exempt it from a mezuzah. Abai clarifies that Rabbi Meir and the Chumim disagree in a case when the archway is 10 tefachim high, and the archway's legs have a height of 3 tefachim, before the opening between them narrows to less than that of 4 tefachim. But the archway is not 4 tefachim wide along the entire minimum height of 10 tefachim. However, the wall surrounding the archway is large enough to allow one to carve into it to complete the entranceway to the full 4 tefachim along the height of the 10 tefachim. Rabbi Meir holds, Chokikim Hashlim. We view the entrance as if it's enlarged, since it has potential to do so. But the Rabban hold, Ein Chokikim Hashlim. We do not take the potential into account, but consider the archway as it presently stands. So in their attempt to break the world record for the largest number of mezuzahs in a single province, the inhabitants stuck gold stars over every gate, and made sure to include curved archways, shuls, and women's houses on the right side as people enter. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, basic nesses, basic isha, basic shutfin, chayevitz, but mezuzah. A shul, a house of women, and a house owned by partners require a mezuzah. One might have thought, beis secha, your house, implies, and not her house, and not their houses, referring to a shul and house owned by partners. Then we're asked why we don't actually drive these conclusions. The answer, because the next pasuk states, l'man yirbu yemechem yibeymenechem, in order to increase your days and the days of your sons. Hanu boy chai, v'hanu wo boy chai. Do these people who own houses independently have a need for a long life, but not women and partners? Of course not. The Gemara then asks, then what's the need of the pasuk stating beis secha? And brings Rav, who answers derech biyascha, the word your house may be read your entry, indicating that the mezuzah should be affixed the way you enter. And when a person lifts his feet to enter a house, he lifts his right foot first. The Torah therefore teaches that the mezuzah should be affixed on the right side as a person enters. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from previous mesechtas. Number 1, which have you learned the causes of the Churban of Shiloh, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni? That's on Daf. Test. Good. Number 2, which stuff do you learn that all gates, including the gates of provinces, require mezuzahs? That's on Daf. Yudav. Good. Number 3, which stuff do we have a three-way machlokes regarding how the substitute Kohen Gadol is invested into office if the Kohen Gadol becomes tamei after bringing the tamei shel shachar? That's on Daf. Yud Beis. Good. Number 4, which stuff do you learn that the preaching of the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippurim was for Kedusha, whereas the preaching of the Kohen during the Avodah of the Paraduma was for Tahara? That's on Daf. Ches. Good. Number 5, which daf do we have in Malchus? Whether Rome will fall into the hands of Persia, or Persia will fall in the hands of Rome? That's on Daf. Yud. Good. Number 6, which daf do we have in Malchus? Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, whether Yerushalayim was apportioned to the Shvatim, which would dictate if houses in Yerushalayim can become Tamei from Tumat Saras? That's on Daf. Yud Beis. Good. Number 7, which daf do we have? The reason the Lishkas Parhedron had a mezuzah mid the Rabbanan was so that it should not look like the Kohen Gadol was locked in jail? That's on Daf. Yud. Good. Number 8, which daf do the machlokes regarding whether the avnet of a kohen hedyot was made of linen or shatnez? That's on Daf. Yud Beis. Good. Number 9, which daf do when the Mashiach comes after Rome overruns the entire world for 9 months? That's on Daf. Yud. Good. And number 10, which daf to be between Rabbi Miran and the Chachamim, whether chokakim lahashlim, when it comes to affixing a mezuzah in a kippah, a curved archway. That's on daf. Yudov. Excellent. All right, now the three bonus questions. Number 1, which daf to be is whether salt water can be purchased with Meister Shani monies. That's on daf. Chav Zayin in Erevin. Good. Number 2, which daf to learn how Hillel dealt with Gerim, converts. That's on daf. Lamed Aleph and Shabbos. Good. And number 3, which daf you learn that it's Malchus between Rebbe and Rebbe Nassim, whether a ger that converted and a boy who became bar mitzvah after Pesach need to bring a Pesach sheni? That's on daf. Tzadik Gimel and Pesachim. Excellent. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.